You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you're on the couch. Welcome, everyone. Got a great show for you, as usual, today here on LA Talk Radio. We're talking about marriage, divorce, and relationships. You're going to love it. Got some great information to help you out, and also a really interesting guest who's going to tell you how to get it together, take care of yourselves and your relationships. Hey, you know, marriage and divorce are so common in this country. Yeah, of course, you know that, right? It's pretty well known that healthy marriages are great for couples' mental and physical health. That's healthy marriages I'm talking about, of course. The facts are that they're also good for children, and growing up in a happy home protects children from mental and physical and educational and social problems a lot of times. And again, I'm emphasizing healthy homes. But, you know, about 40 to 50% of married couples in the U.S. divorce within a 10-year period. And the divorce rate for subsequent marriages is even higher. And according to a new study, where you live may say something about your marital happiness. Yeah. It also is going to say something about your likelihood to divorce. So check this out. According to the American Community Survey, you can Google that, by the way. They do a lot of community surveys on what's going on in our country. It says starting, we'll just go with the top five cities, okay? The cities with the top five highest divorce rates in the country. Starting at number five, counting down, are Reno, Nevada. Interesting, huh? Highest divorce rate in the country, number four, Medford, Oregon. What's up with that? Number three, Charleston, West Virginia. Coming in at number two is Sierra Vista, Arizona. And the number one city with the most divorce is, drum roll please, Panama City, Florida? Really? You thought I was going to say Los Angeles or Miami, didn't you? You're right. I bet you did. A lot of people in this country portray us Southern Californians here as these wild and crazy people, enjoying the warm weather and running down the beaches, hanging out in the happy hour bars, kind of like a Sheryl Crow song. As the sun sets over Santa Monica Boulevard, right? Yeah, we're always out there here in West Los Angeles, Hollywood, Southern California, meeting lots of willing partners, singles, or people who want to have a good time. But you're wrong. Highest divorce rates, you know, are in different cities all around the country. Panama City, Florida. Well, why am I talking about this today? It's because a good deal of my work involves helping married or significant other couples. You know, I've done a lot of research on some of the main reasons why people can't stay together or have bumpy relationships. And also this hour, I'll be talking with a relationship expert and author. His name is Bruce Starr. He's also known as the Love Coach. By the way, even if you have a pretty good relationship with someone, you'll want to pick up a few bits of advice today here on the couch. It'll make it even better. You go, oh, yeah, I've been forgetting to do that lately. Oh, yeah, maybe I should do that lately. So this will help you out to listen, really. So why the high divorce rates? I don't think people really prepare themselves before getting into serious relationships. I don't know if you listen to me at the end of the show, if you're blown, gone, I don't know, whatever. But always at the end of every show, I say, you need to take care of yourself first. Then you'll be good for others. Why do I say that? Because if you haven't worked through some of your inner struggles and your own stuff, your low self-esteem and your anger, or figured out why you have some of these issues because of some negative messages you bought into about yourself from your early upbringing, then what's going to happen is you're going to put or project your own stuff onto your significant other. That's the way it usually goes. Or you're going to just keep attracting people who are not right for you and keep those old negative relationship patterns thriving. And then you keep repeating the same patterns as you move in and out of relationships. Why do I keep attracting the same kind of ladies? They're all drama queens.
Really?
Did you take a look at yourself and why you want a drama queen? Was mama a drama queen? No, I don't always mean to blame it on mama. I'm sorry. I do go there sometimes, but hey, it is real. And dad, the same thing. Why do I keep attracting the bad boys? I like those bad boys. They're so fun and sexy. Yeah, but your heart's always broken. You know, that's not a good thing. Anyway, some of the most important things I suggest that couples do to keep their relationships healthy is to keep physical intimacy alive. That's a biggie. A lot of couples who come in and see me say, you know, we hardly, you know, touch anymore. We're just like best friends. Well, that's cool to be best friends. I love that. I mean, your married partner or your significant other or your whoever you're living with, they should be your best friend, I think. But you have to keep physical intimacy alive. And if you let too much time pass by and you don't tend to keep going with that, you tend to kind of lose it. And it's not only the sex, but it's the touching and holding hands and hugging and cuddling and all that cool stuff. So it's really important for you to do that. Got to do that. Got to keep that going on an ongoing. Yes, we all get in grumpy moods. We're not in the mood. We're tired. We work hard. Of course, I get it. We're on certain medications. It's hard for our libidos. I get it. But you just do have to work on it sometimes. So it's also important to make time to spend quality time together. You have to do that, guys. I always tell couples, please, especially if you have kids, get a babysitter. Find time for fun things. Do those romantic dinners. You know, at the beginning of our relationships, hopefully we don't have kids too early. Sometimes we do. But at the beginning of our relationships, we're on good behavior and we're romantic and we're having a wonderful time and it's all cool and we have those romantic dinners. Whether it's cooking at our own places, making very nice, special, low-lit, candle-lit romantic dinners, or, you know, if you're out to a nice restaurant, whatever. But we tend to forget to do that. Life gets hectic. We have crazy jobs. We have kids. Some of us don't work. Some of us, well, of course, being a house person, husband or wife, that's work. Whew, that's a full-time job too. Anyway, again, my big point here is you've got to spend more quality time together. Very important. And I also work with clients who are couples who need to lighten up more. I see this a lot. It's always so heavy. Things are serious. We have to run our house like an army camp. You know, you get up a certain time, you get dressed, you get going, you get to work, you get in the traffic, you get the kids up, get the kids ready, get it. It's serious. We got to run our lives. Yeah, we've got to do it. But sometimes it's really important to try and lighten up and try to understand ourselves and why we get so defensive with each other. So this is a common thing I see with couples coming into my office. So when you learn to nail down what hurts you, then you have to find out why. Is it the old stuff? What are you defending that's so important that you have to yell and make a point? Yeah, name call your partner. Or as I call it, when we have to, well, you did this contest. you did this and I did that. No, you did this. You know what I'm saying? There's always a contest. I always say to people, you know, love is not a contest. That's one of my favorite things to always say to people. Relationships, marriage is not a contest. Hello. It's not. So I always say that a lot. So, you know, I think probably the most important couple work and advice I give involves good communication skills. You've heard it a lot. No name calling. None of that. You've got to learn how to use those I statements, as corny as it is. It makes me feel angry or hurt when you do this, or I feel sad when you do this. Why do you do this, and how can we change it? Takes practice. You know? You've got to work on it. That's it. That's what you have to do. And if you expect to get what you want most of the time in a relationship, wrong. You're setting yourself up for disappointment. Healthy relationships are built on compromise, and it takes work on each person's part to make sure that there's a reasonable exchange. 20, 40 years, 46. You know what? We give and we take. You see what I'm saying? And the point is here is I always try to encourage couples to try and work on their individual stress. Their stress that they're bringing in from work and other family issues, as in-law stuff, before they put it on their partner. And oh yeah, romantic relationships require ongoing attention. Right? A lot of times, a lot of couples focus on their relationship only when there are specific unavoidable problems to overcome. So once a lot of the problems have been, you know, kind of resolved, then they often switch their attention back to their careers and kids and other interests. And a lot of couples come on back to me for what I call a brush up, even after they have learned and worked on their healthy relationship habits, because they forget. They forget that romantic relationships require ongoing attention and commitment for them to flourish, you know. So as long as the health of your romantic relationship remains important to you, it's going to require your attention and effort, you know? So that's the way it is, guys. That's it. And earlier I said how important it is to work through a lot of your own stuff before considering a long-term relationship. And as I mentioned as well, my special guest today, Bruce Starr, agrees with me. He says, you know, if you don't have this love for yourself first, basically, you're not going to let someone in to love you. And he is so right. So he's on the air with us now. Bruce, by the way, is also known as the Love Coach. He's a relationship consultant. He's been helping couples since the early 90s. Actually, he's been known as the first and original love coach. And his latest book, which is terrific, what a great read. It's entitled Body Traitors, Transforming Back from Playa. I like to say it that way. Playa to lover. Bruce, so nice to have you on the show with me today.
Wow, how great to be here. What do you mean no name calling? There goes all my material for the whole show.
You're great. Oh,
goodness gracious.
You have a lot of material in your book, Bruce, and I'm going to make sure we cover it today.
Excellent.
Yeah, I really enjoyed reading your book, Body Traitors. What a cool name. What a very cool name for a book. What is a body traitor? What is that?
Well, you know, when I was on America Online starting in 1993, I actually spent 10 years online opening up this room called Relationship Coaching. As a matter of fact, a Hollywood TV producer who produced Love Boat, of all shows.
Yes.
And Love Connection suggested that I open that when he heard what I was doing.
Yeah.
And so for 10 years, I kind of opened up that room in my spare time, which was a lot back then, and I actually had 6,000 intimate, detailed conversations with people from all around the country.
Ooh.
And I thought I was there to help them, and I did. I helped a lot of people.
Sure.
But
sure.
What amazed me was what I was learning from other people.
Mm.
And I was listening to their stories, and basically what I kept hearing over and over and over again is, those of us, and you know, Doc, we can all remember falling in love when we were, whatever it was, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, the first time we fell in love. Right. Wasn't that a great feeling?
Yes, great feeling. We were usually a little immature and young and didn't know, but, you know, it's real. It feels good.
What goes along with that was that our hearts were open. Mm-hmm. We had no baggage. Mm-hmm. We weren't worried about anything. We were just going at it, and it was fantastic. Well, if we got our hearts broken, many of us kind of closed that part in ourselves, and instead of leading with our hearts in future relationships, many of us started thinking about how we could manage to be in a relationship, have sex, be social, and get out unscathed. And what we started doing, and the story that I heard time and time again was, stereotypically now, women were looking for the guy who could supply the most financial security. And she would trade what she had if she could find a guy that had enough of what she wanted. And a guy, the same thing. A guy would give up what he had if he could find a sexy, beautiful woman that could make him look good. And to me, there's nothing about love there. Mm-hmm. What I'm hearing, what I kept hearing, was this, like, this horse trading. Or what I finally said, this is like body trading. People are trading what they have to get what the other guy has.
Yeah.
And that's where body came from.
So some of the characteristics and, you know, thoughts of those body traders: I want financial support. And you said that mostly comes from a lot of the women that you, documented, over 6,000 intimate discussions, and sex and hotness was a biggie with a lot of the men that you experienced as well. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And stereotypically, and as you know, the roles have changed dramatically. And I think one of the biggest problems that we're having right now, and I talk about this in my seminars, is, and L.A. is a very, very good example of this, because to make it out in Los Angeles, to make it out in California, you have to be really tough and aggressive.
Yeah.
Anyone has to be.
Yep.
If you're soft and feminine and receptive and not aggressive, it's just not going to make it. It's just not going to happen for you. So what's happened is the women who are fighting for their lives out in California to make it have become so masculine in nature that it's been very hard for them to turn off that masculinity when it comes to relationships. Dr. Pat Allen, who is Patty Stanger's go-to woman.
Yep.
When she runs into a real toughie on Millionaire Matchmaker, she's my mentor, and she's the one I studied with, and she's the one that first wrote about this changing role that men and women are playing. And, you know, Dr. Michelle, for 10,000 years, men were masculine, aggressive, and women were receptive, not weaker, just receptive and feminine, and now that those roles have changed, everyone's in a massive state of confusion.
So are you also saying, Bruce, that there's a sense of competition, you know, maybe in particularly, you know, crazy cities like Southern California, or, you know, in larger cosmopolitan cities, of course, New York and whatever, that there's a lot of competition, a lot of women have to be a little harder, a little stronger, and is that what you're saying, in order to kind of find someone, because they have to be more rather aggressive than assertive?
No, I'm saying just the opposite. They have to become aggressive and assertive at the workplace.
Yeah.
And the only way relationships have worked, and people call me, oh, you're old school love coach, and I say to them, how's that new school working?
Right.
How's that working for you? New school relationships working? And you get this silence. And it's like, well, here's, relationships worked a certain way for 10,000 years.
Yeah.
And in the last 20 years, people want to change those roles, and it's ended up in a massive state of confusion. Because here's why. It's not that women want to compete for men. Yes, at the workplace, but they have added duty. Mm. What Dr. Pat Allen would say, and what I believe 100% is, for them to have everything but love. You know, these people are running around having everything but love. They have success. They made their money. They're doing great in the workplace. They have everything but love. Right. For them to have love, women have the extra added duty of when they come home,
yep,
they have to change modes. They have to bring back the feminine side to them, maybe take a hot bath with some great, which is great for anybody, take a hot bath with some good-smelling oils, light some candles, and relax and get rid of that masculinity. Because you know what happens?
Hmm.
Two masculine people don't make it. Hmm. They're banging heads. They're competitive. Hmm. That just doesn't work. Two receptive feminine people don't make it because nothing ever happens.
Yes. Yes.
The
so,
only way to work is, Dr. Pat Allen says, is the masculine, there's a masculine person in the relationship and it's a feminine person in the relationship. And usually, again, it's not one is not any more powerful than the other, just different roles.
Right. And it's not necessarily heterosexual couples either. So there's certain roles that we adopt. You know, and we give and take, and it is sort of traditional ways that, you know, we are used to having relationships and all that. So, Bruce, how do people become body traders, as you say?
Well, when they switch from wanting love in their lives because their hearts have been broken, and, you know, some people, even though they get their heart broken one time, they still go at it. Now, here's where the men have a distinct disadvantage, and here's why. Mm. If a man falls in love, and hopefully he does, and did when he was 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, whatever it was for him,
mm-hmm.
he goes out full speed ahead, falls in love, no holds barred, everything showing, down to the underwear. He's just feeling it, loving it. If he gets his heart broken,
yeah,
it's so dramatic that the man, and maybe people are going to be hearing this for the first time, is, you ladies, listen in.
Mm.
I'm for everyone. I'm not a man lover, woman lover. I'm for everyone.
Mm.
But if a man gets his heart broken, he may never fully recover.
Yeah.
And here's why.
Yeah.
A woman can talk to her mother, her sister, her friends, cousins, mentors, whoever it is that gives them something smart and gives them good stuff.
Yeah.
A man, you know, if Tony and Frank go down to the gym, you're not going to hear Tony say, "Hey, Frank, I just got my heart, I'm feeling so vulnerable.
Yeah.
I just got my heart broken by my girlfriend. I just don't know what to do. Can you tell me what?"
It's
just not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
They're just not going to share.
Yeah.
And he's going to be sitting with all those feelings with nobody to share it with. And that's one of the things I want to do. I want to start a group from men. We can start it on Google+. You can be anywhere in the world. I want to hear from you. Actually, let me get my email address if you don't mind.
That's a great idea.
Men need so much. They need so much help.
No, they do.
Love Coach. LUVCoach@AOL.com. LUVCoach@AOL.com. We can get together, guys, and start working things out so that we can get back to having functional relationships again.
Yeah, good for you. No, I think a lot of guys, exactly, they don't talk the way we women do, and they don't have a lot of the support. It's just not in the nature. You know, it's in the gym, like you said, "Hey, Frankie, how about those dolphins, huh? My heart just got broken." You know what I'm saying, right? Right? You know what I'm saying.
That's as intimate as it gets.
That's
it. Get any more intimate than
that's
that.
That's it. And the forward text back and forth. Yeah, fine, let's do it. You know, that's, you guys, you got to learn how to let it out and just have some support. And you sound like a wonderful support system. By the way, if you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle, and my special guest today, Bruce Starr. He's known as the Love Coach, the original guy who started it in the early 90s, has surveyed and helped out over 6,000 people in his work. And also, his latest book is entitled Body Traders, Transforming Back from Player to Lover. It's a really good book, a nice read, well-researched, and I liked it. I really enjoyed reading it, and it's very helpful to folks. Good stuff.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Good stuff, Bruce. So people sort of become body traders just from bad habits. They get hurt, and they don't have a lot of proper, information about how to sort of cherish relationships. They don't learn a lot about what's important in relationships, right?
You know, Dr. Michelle, that you would know more about this than almost anyone, that remembering John Bradshaw's work about the dysfunctional family, grow up living in dysfunctional families, and if it's highly dysfunctional, if your mother or father were drug addicts or alcoholics, you have chosen a life where you are having great challenges in relationships, and you're going to find it that much more challenging to trust and find love in your life. You can find lots of wildness and craziness and all that kind of stuff, but to find love, it's an extra special challenge for you, and it's going to take an inner process of the deepest spirituality to find that love in your life.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Talking about that a little bit further, you suggest that how we deal with relationship is established at a very young age, and it's about Bradshaw as well, but there it comes from a lot of other systems, family systems and everything, and it's said that 75% of how we feel about life and others is decided by the age of 6. So if we're told that we're not worthy, or there was a separation in the family, and we have to work harder at feeling valued or lovable. So can you elaborate on some of the negative belief systems that we do learn besides those things, when we have an unhealthy upbringing?
You want to hear a funny story? Just today, one of the most successful matchmakers and a woman who brings women and guys together for television shows called me up. I sent her the book about 6 months ago.
Right.
She finally read it. She had me on the phone all morning screaming about how great the book was. And she says, "But you forgot about me and my story."
Uh-oh.
I said, "Sorry. What are you talking about?" She says, "Well, my story was, different than what the other stories that you had in the book, and you have to get my story in the book." I said, "Okay, well, I'll write another book, and we can talk about your story."
That's right.
But, she said that she was born in a very loving household, and her mother, like Romeo and Juliet, and she had a terrible situation of having her dad pass on when she was just 12 years old. Could you imagine
how
difficult have been for her? Not only do you not have a dad to coach you like I'm coaching my 10-year-old daughter every step of the way,
so
she doesn't make major mistakes later, but what about the feelings that she has of abandonment? And anger towards her father, that there's no way she's going to direct that to her father, so who is she going to direct that to?
The guy she goes out with.
Yeah.
She grows up
forever and ever.
That's
until
right.
She gets a grip. That is, she even said to me just today, "I hated men. I didn't trust them. I didn't like men."
Aww.
And she said, this matchmaking that I've been doing, and I've been talking to guys, and I realized that guys are great, and I started liking guys all over again because they're really nice guys looking for love, just like everybody else. So, you know what? There's so many different challenges that we have, and everyone's challenge is different, but it does all circle around one thing.
Mm-hmm.
How we feel about each other, exactly what you said before we came on the air. Mm-hmm. If we have high self-esteem and a nice self-image of us, we're putting out high vibrations. Didn't someone out there write a song about that?
Yeah, I think so.
The Beach Boys wrote a terrific song about putting out good vibrations, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, if you're a person who's caught up in anger and bitterness and you have a closed heart, you're putting out negative or bad vibrations. Now, let me ask you a question.
Mm.
Have you ever heard of a story of a very highly successful lawyer or doctor walking around in a three-piece suit and a tie trying to pick up a street chick living on the street living in garbage?
Oh, sure.
That doesn't happen because the energies are so different.
Sure.
They're not on each other's radars.
Of course.
So my point is this. Someone coming off feeling good about themselves, feeling self-confident, they have a much greater chance of being seen by others who also feel good about themselves. And if someone is looking for someone else to save them from their miserable life, mm-hmm. It might look like it's going to work for a week or a month or a year. You could even get married, but it's not going to be a work, and it's going to be a relationship full of torment and anxiety and frustration.
Oh, boy, you're right. You know, and we don't even necessarily have to be, you know, doctors or lawyers or any, you know, to have our own self-esteem. And there's a lot of folks out there who are professionals who have very low self-esteem. But I mean, no, I know what you're saying. You have to be sort of on the same, not to be too new agey and everything, but it's true. Physics, we read about it. You have to be sort of on the same thought processes, you know, like attracts like. And even going further with that, you say that something about just building ourselves up on the outside actually sidetracks us on the outside from attaining what will help us reach the happiness we're searching for. So you're talking about going within, kind of exploring.
Absolutely.
You know, so what do you think is going to give us that long-term, the long-lasting satisfaction and contentment?
You know, people come at me all the time and they say, I'm dating so much, and they're frantic. And you know what I say to them? And I don't think anybody's ever told this to them.
Mm-hmm.
Slow up.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah.
Stop. Get off of all those websites. You know what? Online dating is spectacular.
Mm.
So many people have found others. It is a wonderful way to meet someone. But addictive people who are searching for what they won't give themselves from someone else, empty people, low self-esteem people, what they do is they abuse the system, start going out every night with someone different, maybe twice a night with somebody different, looking the whole that the next one.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
next
yeah.
one will maybe.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. Low up.
Mm-hmm.
And we grow your pie. I've got a pie theory. When we were that youngster who fell in love, we came to that person with a full pie.
Mm-hmm.
And if we got heartbroken,
mm-hmm.
we got a pie eaten. And when we approached the next person, we were saying, here's my pie. I only have half of it, or a quarter left of it. Is that okay? If you get your heart broken again, you're offering just a sliver of a pie. And the way to come back from that is to regrow your pie, and there's only one way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to get in touch with yourself. You've got to go to meditation classes and meditate.
Yeah.
Start growing from inside. Go to yoga classes, and you have some great people at yoga classes.
Oh,
wow,
yeah.
You can meet someone specific at yoga classes.
Yeah.
Guys, you want to meet someone, kind of different and interesting. There's a lot of women at astrology classes, things like that.
Yeah.
Reiki circles, oh my God, there's so many different interesting people at Reiki healing circles. Volunteer your time. Fill yourself with good, positive activities that don't mean that you're chasing, looking to find someone. Is that him?
Yeah.
Is she there? No,
yeah.
It's not about being frantic.
Yeah.
It's about slowing up. And being kind to yourself.
Yeah.
And regrowing that pie.
Wow, you are so right on. I mean, it is. It's going within. And as I say to my clients and also to listeners a lot, you know, meditation's great. Going within, as you say, yoga's great because you're focusing. And you don't have to be, you know, a yogi. You don't have to be the om. You don't have to get into the heavy, hot and heavy stuff. It's just focusing your mind and relaxing, basically, is all it is. And take it. Chill out. Take some time. You'll get some answers when you take time to chill out and just sort of explore some of those questions you have about yourself and what's going on with you, you know? And then
Absolutely.
And get to know yourself better. And how do you do that? hey, you find out some of the issues you have going on within you. What did you learn from your upbringing? What are you so darned angry about? What are you so low in your self-esteem about? What are you defensive about all the time? You know, you just learn sort of about those things. And how can you keep from projecting that crud onto somebody else when you, you know, really are looking for a serious relationship? Yeah. So those are all really important things. And by the way, in case you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest today is Bruce Starr. He's also known as the Love Coach, and he's been a relationship consultant since the early 90s. He's the original, man. He's been there and done that. And his latest book is entitled Body Traitors, Transforming Back from Playa. I want to say it that way, Bruce. Playa to Lover. Right? So it's a good book. It's a great read, and it will help you in your relationships as well. And I'll be giving out more information about how you can get hold of Bruce's book at the end of the show and find out more about him and what he can do to counsel and help you with your relationships. Lots of great advice, down-to-earth, healthy stuff, you know. So we were talking about, you know, you're welcome, building ourselves up on the inside, you know, rather than looking outside to make us happy. You know, speaking about the outside, and I know you hear this a lot too, so many clients talk about how, you know, hot or physically attracted they are to someone when they're looking for love, right? But you suggest that having a little too much of a physical attraction to a person without being best friends or really close friends first creates an unhealthy imbalance. So can you talk a little bit more about that?
You know, I was single most of my adult life, and so all these things I talk about, I was those things. I lived those things. I was a playa and had a really great time.
Yeah.
I lived out in Los Angeles for 10 years, five of those years as a playa, as an agent and a manager. I've seen a lot, and I lived through a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, being a player, it has its glamorous side. And but here's what I've noticed about really attractive people. And as the years have gone by, I actually feel, and I'm going to talk about really beautiful women right now.
Okay.
Really beautiful women, especially sexy, beautiful women, and I'm sure they've looked like that since they were very, very young. I have actually... How can I feel bad for them and they should say to me, who are you to feel bad for me? No, it's not like that at all.
No, okay.
But they just attract so many players who just want them, want to possess them, want to have them, that these, most of them, when you're younger, you're so innocent that if someone gorgeous, rich, successful, powerful comes on to you, because you look so good, you're going to say, yeah, you're going to say yes.
Sure.
And then when that player is done with you, because they weren't looking for love, they were looking to conquer you, they were looking to have you, and it's going to happen to that beautiful woman. Hello, California woman who is focusing on just your looks and sexuality.
Yeah.
It's a very tough pill to take. Because the sexier you are, the more beautiful you are, the more men who want you for those outside things are going to come at you and come at you, and some of them you're going to accept. And by the time they're done with you, you're going to be eaten up, spitting out, dizzy, feeling awful, rejected. And that's why I feel bad for a woman who is very, very attractive, because she's going to attract so much attention. She's simply not going to know what to do with it.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword. When you were out here working as an agent here in Los Angeles for many years, and of course you were in the entertainment industry, you met a lot of very attractive women. And it, you know, on one hand, especially in Los Angeles and more metropolitan cities, the whole emphasis from the media is on looking better and sexy. It's all about being sexy and hot. And of course, the commercials, the way we have to portray ourselves, there's a lot of pressure. So, you know, on one hand, we feel better when we feel sexier and more attractive. But on the other hand, just like I think a lot of celebrities have to think about, is this person loving me for who I am inside? Or is it just about because I'm smoking hot on the outside and, You know, it's a double-edged sword sometimes. So I don't know.
What a tough road that was taken. And sure, you've met with people, and I know a lot of people that they couldn't take it. They gained 50 pounds, and that stopped happening.
They were much more
kind of okay about it because they weren't hit on. But, you know, many times it's almost too late because the damage has been done. And then they really have to go on that path of spirituality and spiritual growth. Many people were helped by the Course in Miracles, Law of Attraction right now. We talked about that. So many of these philosophies on life, I studied them. And that's why for the last 15 years I've been with my, with one woman, married for 10 of those years. We have adopted a beautiful girl. And I learned from those philosophies on life. And I changed. And I came back from being a player to a lover. And I just hope, I've dedicated the rest of my life to helping people come back out of empty, game-playing lifestyles. Because there's nothing worse than turning 50, and you're still a player who nobody wants, who you've hurt a lot of people, and it's too late. I want to help people before they get to that too late point, open up their hearts to love again.
Wow, that's, you know, thank goodness for you and others like you, Bruce. I mean, it's wonderful. And, you know, I've, of course, researched you and a lot of your information. And good for you for making that transformation and being involved in helping people for so long. Because, I mean, you do have a beautiful, loving, wonderful wife. And your daughters, you know, you're a good dad. You're a good man. And you have made this transformation based on, but you were open to it. You were fascinated with it. You started coaching people, like you said, back in the early 90s. And you've read and researched over 6,000 individual stories to help people out and really find out what are some of the healthy tools to making a good relationship, and how can you go from being a body trader, which you say, which is a fascinating concept, to someone who is healthy and ready to give and love, you know, and possibly start a family and create healthy kids, which you have done.
That's why we came here, Dr. Michelle. Now, many of us forget that, and we focus on chocolate, power, sex, money. We get so sidetracked, but there isn't one single person alive that didn't come here when they first came out of that womb wanting, looking for love and wanting to share and spread love. That's why we came here. And then all these other distractions came along, and some of us got terribly distracted, and some of us got partially distracted. Make no mistake about it. We are powerful spiritual beings of love, who came to love back, to receive love, and nothing else is as important as that. And that's where we need to get back to. And the people that really don't think that way, they've gotten so much successes in so many of those other things, but there's going to come a day when they're going to say, wow, I bought the deal that if I made all the money I wanted, if I became as powerful I wanted, I can have all the love I wanted. How's that working?
How's that working out for you? And I know also that you have wonderful suggestions for people who are trying to do a lot of online dating. And, you know, some of the little kind of things you should and shouldn't do in order to, you know, try to impress. Or like you said, you know, people are going crazy. You know, they're getting responses from people. And they're going out every other night because they're so desperate. They want to find someone so badly. But this is, you got to chill out and slow down and kind of think about really what you're doing and sort things out in your own time. Because you're not going to be able to do that if you're scattered and constantly going out. You're not going to get to know anyone really intimately. And of course, if you're out there and you're promiscuous, it's not good. Yeah, Bruce, I had someone say to me the other day, you know, living in Los Angeles as a single woman in her mid-30s to mid-40s, if you don't have sex with someone you've met on the third date, you're gone. What do you think about that? Bruce, I went, what? Are you really? I haven't been out there in the dating arena for many, 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 many years. I've been married. Knock on wood. Thank God. Good guy. But I mean, I couldn't believe it when I heard this.
Well, I have to tell you, and this is the best way I could handle it when I was out there. I knew that I was having so little love when I was out in Los Angeles. I said to myself that if I don't find myself as a successful agent and a manager or producer for TV or movies or a screenwriter, if I don't find myself in that position soon, I'm going to have to leave, because to me it's so spiritually barren and just for reasons like that. And you know what? I did leave because I knew it was going to be too tough for me to have love in my life, and it was worth it for me to leave. I love show business. Mm-hmm. I like Los Angeles. I like the people out there.
Yeah.
But when it comes to intimate relationships, they have an incredible challenge, more than most, because what attracts people there is how powerful you are.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a producer, a director, a coke dealer? Are you an agent, a manager? Are you another actor? And that's how people make their decisions about who they're going to spend time with.
Mm.
And can I tell you a story? Do you have time for a two-minute story?
Well, we got about a minute. We got a hard break coming up here for CBS News. But, I'd love to hear.
When I was out in Los Angeles, the very first days I was out there, I was standing online. A friend of mine, the same producer, as a matter of fact, I told you about before, gave me tickets to the show to sit in the audience. When I got in there, before I got in there, it was the most beautiful girl I've ever seen in my whole life. I just was so gaga. I couldn't say a word to her. But
right.
My God, she was beautiful. And we went inside to the show. There was a bunch of people circling around in a bar, laughing, circling around in a bar. Well, that show was Cheers.
Oh, yes.
Anyway,
oh, yeah.
Two weeks later, I was at MGM Studios, and that was the name back then, and I walked past the Fame studio, big, big stage door, and out walks this girl. And I said, oh, my God. So I said, this is meant to be. I said, let's go out. And you know what she said?
Yeah.
She said, yes. She said, how about Thursday? I said, okay, I'll call you at 7:30, and I'll come get you. I called her at 7:30. She wasn't there. 7:35, 7:40, 7:42, 7:43, 7:47, 8:30 until she picked up the phone. And I said, we had a date tonight. What happened? She goes, well, I had an appointment with my agent. I had dance class. I had acting class. I'm really sorry. And she said, do you still want to go out sometime? And you know what I had to tell her?
Hmm.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't want to be fifth in line of what was going to be important to her. I couldn't handle it.
Well, that's
what
right.
A big life lesson. That was for me.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, what is your priority? You want someone to, you know, make you feel like they're really interested in you. And that's a great story, Bruce. I love that story. By the way, Los Angeles, we are not bashing you. We love you, L.A. Come on now. Bruce and I wouldn't do that.
We love you.
We love you, babe. How can folks get in touch with you and also get your book, The Love Coach's book, which is entitled Body Traitors?
Come by my website, Love Coach, LUVCoach.net, LUVCoach.net. Send me a letter, Love Coach, LUVCOACH, at AOL.com. And you know, Dr. Michelle, if you would allow me, this has been so much fun. I love doing the show with you. If you will allow me to offer anyone who emails me at Love Coach, LUVCOACH, at AOL.com, anyone emails me and says, I would like a 10 or 15 minute session with you. It could be over Skype, it could be over Google, over the phone. I will do that for your audience.
Well, bless your heart. That's lovely. Hey, you're going to get a lot of responses. I know that. Thank you so much, Bruce, for being such a great guest today on the show. It's been a pleasure.
So great to be here. Thank you, Dr. Michelle. I hope we get to do this again.
We will certainly do this again. Loved your book. Take good care and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. Once again, my special guest, Bruce Starr. He's the Love Coach. Don't forget to check out his book. It's really a good one. Body Traitors, Transforming Back from Playa to Lover. get your relationships together, guys. How to find good people. How to get your acts together so you'll be good for others as well. And as I always do say, take good care of yourself first, and then you will be good for others. And that's the way it works. Thanks for joining us today here on the couch. More great shows coming up here on LA Talk Radio. We'll be back next week with another wonderful self-help author and therapist to talk about some of the tools you can use to get yourself back up the mountain again. Get on top. Take good care. Bye-bye now.
Flashing red.